Well, praise the Lord. You know, that scripture that you just read, Jeremiah, was one that's been with me all my life, you know.
Amen.
Before I knew you, no, before you were born, I knew you.
Amen.
And, you know, the Lord has been with me for a long time. You know, it's when I look at it, it seems like it's been really tragic. But, you know, through and through, he's always been with me. So let me start off by saying that I was born like, I don't know, is Mark here today? The drummer Mark. No, he's not. Well, I too was born in El Paso, Texas. And back in 1953, my birthday is December 26, 1953. And I'm just like Moses. I got the spirit of Moses. I can't speak in front of people. So I can sing a little bit, but you know, I can't speak, you know. So, you know, I just made up in my mind that I'll do what I can for the Lord. If I can't speak, you know, I'll sing. I'll do, you know, whatever I can, you know, we'll sing a little bit. So, you know, I didn't make it to the hospital. I was born at home in a little studio, a one-room studio. And back in those days, in 1953, there was no hot water. There was an outhouse back there for the units, L-shaped unit. And so when we had to take baths and all that, we had to heat the water up on the stove to get hot water to take a bath, you know. And my first experience with the gospel, well, not with the gospel, with people trying to give us the gospel was with the Jehovah Witnesses. They used to always come over and try to knock on the door, you know. At first, my mom was kind of, okay with it, but they just kept coming. Every week they come. You know, one day she just said, you know, don't come back over here no more. You know, and so the very next week they came over again. You know, so my mom with her temper, I'll tell you a little bit later about how her temper was. She said, wait a minute. And she went to the stove and got that hot water and she threw it at the door, you know, screen door. And after that, they didn't come back no more. So my mom had like a seventh grade education, highly superstitious. And her and my dad divorced when I had to be like maybe 4 years old. They divorced. So she was a single parent, you know, and very young. And she still though loved to go out there and she's partying, you know, going out there partying and drinking and all that, you know. But back where we were, it was really, really a tough area to live in. And we moved from that place where I was born. We moved to the projects. So you could say we moved up to the projects. So you can imagine the projects is a rough place. But we were so poor, we were like lower than the project. We had an outhouse, and the outhouse was like, you didn't even want to use the outhouse, you know. It was ridiculous. But so we moved up to the projects, you know. We were like living it up. Nice area, nice place, you know. Made out of concrete, bricks and everything, you know. So it was pretty nice. But still, the life was real rough in that projects back in Texas. So, and I remember my mom, you know, even though she was a single parent, she still went out to those bars and clubs and stuff. And her protection, I remember her protection was, she'd take a straight razor. You guys know what a straight razor is?
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those, you know, you lather up, get heat, and you open it up, and that's what you shave with. Well, she would have one of those down in her bosom, walking the streets at night, having a good time, partying, you know. Couple of times she cut herself with that straight razor down in her bosom, you know. So she's a pretty tough character. So she's like Mama Lion, you know. We didn't really have too much problems with people in the projects because they didn't want to see my mom coming. but you know, life in Texas is kind of different, you know. For a kid, you just learn the behavioral the the things around you, how to act and everything. In Texas, you then, back then, you don't ask no questions, you know. You're a kid, you do what you're told, you know. You ask the question, it's like you're kind of demeaning your parents. So you, number one, you never ask questions. And that was the thing that I had about the church when I was growing up. You didn't ask no questions to your mom, you don't ask no questions to nobody. Even like when you're in the church, you have a question about, well, you know, who's Moses? Like, you know, So, you know, a lot of stuff, you know, I just really just quiet about it, not asking, you know. Maybe that's why I can't speak well in front of people. So my first church exposure was in a Baptist church. She would go and party and everything, but she said, you know what, you guys are going to church, you know. So she had us, this church was called Reverend McKnight's Baptist Church. And they come by the projects, you know, and they get us and take us out to this other area called forget the name right now of it, but it's like maybe 15 miles away, and we go to church. Then my mom, you know, she believed in working for her way. So she worked at a golf course up there, waitressing. And when she went to waitress, she had this babysitter that we would go to her house, and it was nuns from the Catholic Church. So I had these two things in my mind trying to figure out what, and I can't ask nobody a question, but yeah, Catholic, you know, Baptist, Catholic, yeah, you know, you can imagine. So while I was there at the little, it was a little place where they taught kids the catechism, and everything was in Spanish. So my sister and I would be sitting there all day long, just sitting, listening to this stuff in Spanish. Who is God? Why is God? Why did God make you? Why did God love you? And all this in Spanish, you know. And I had to be like maybe five years old. And I learned Spanish. That's how I learned Spanish. Just sitting there listening to that, you know, every day. I remember walking home, and I'm practicing the role of the R. Por qué? You know, and all that, you know. So I was a little sponge, you know. Being a little kid, you know, all you need is some little guidance, you know. That's a good thing. You have little kids, you know, they're little sponges, man. Teach them right, you know, and they're going to absorb everything. I just happened to be there, and I learned that, you know. But if I had a little bit more direction, I could have went much further, I believe, you know. So, then we went to the Catholic Church also. We went to the Catholic Church. It was called Guardian Angel. That's in El Paso, Texas. So, and I was baptized there. And that's it. I can turn the page. All right. So I'm moving a little bit further here now. So so you just picture this, that, you know, single parent, she only has a seventh grade education. So we're really, you know, at the mercy of everything around us. You know, there's no intellect there, but yet the Lord was there with us. Amen. You know, even though I didn't see him, like, you know, the Lord coming crashing down with the lightning bolt and saying, "You do it." No, he was just there, you know. And, you know, it took me years and years to figure out that the Lord was right there. Because what the Bible says, that the Lord, it's a small, still voice. But you have to be the one to stop what you're doing and listen for that small, still voice and then follow the Lord. It took me years and years to understand that. But you got to stop what you're doing and listen. I think that voice, he's calling everybody. He's giving everybody a chance to call, but you have to stop and listen. So, but anyway, back in my turmoil, my first drink that I took, I was like 13 years old, drinking alcohol. That actually was whiskey. You know, you on cartoons, not cartoons, but TV, you see the old westerns, you know, people go, "Oh, give me some red eye, the old red eye. Get a red eye and drink it." I'm gonna do that. I drunk that stuff, man, it like burnt a hole all the way down. I ain't gonna do that again, you know. But besides that, you know, we're out there trying to pretend like you're grown, you know, only 13 years old, you don't know what you're doing, you know, out there getting drunks to get us beer and in the projects. And up to when I stopped, when I fully received the Lord, I had taken every drug that you can imagine, except, now these are only two that I haven't done, is crack cocaine, and that's cocaine too, freebase. That's all. Everything else I have tried. And you know, maybe it was that small silver voice asking me, why? Why are you doing it? You know, not like, you know, why are you? It was some more inner why. Like, just stop and think. Cause I had to stop and think about that, because a lot of stuff, like that superstitious stuff that my mom had, I had to just stop. Because normally, if your mom's doing it, you're going to do it. You know, I'm not superstitious. I just watch and see what you do. I go, oh, no, that's kind of crazy. I ain't going to do that, you know. But we'd be driving down the street, and a black cat would come across the street. My mom would stop in the middle of traffic, make a U-ey, and go the other way before passing that where that cat went by. That was how strong it was, you know. If she broke a mirror, she'd have to bury 7 pieces of the mirror, you know. One time my sister was sweeping a broom, and she just was sweeping right there by her, you know, just sweep, sweep, sweep. She accidentally hit her foot with it. I thought she was gonna kill her, because the broom hit her foot, and I think that's some kind of bad luck or something. So to break the curse, she grabbed the broom and spit on it. And then, you know, went crazy. What you doing hitting me with that broom? You know. You know, but so when I see that, you know, that's just me. I'm that kind of person. I'm not going, oh, you know, somebody hit me with a broom, better pick it up and spit on it. That, I ain't going to do that, you know. But, oh, I got a little cross back there. But anyway, it was a thing about why. You know, why are you doing it? Why do you have to alter your perception of where you are? Why do I have to go get a drink and then I have to be intoxicated, drunk? Why? Why can't you just be here where you are, you know? And I just battled with that for a long, long time, you know. And one day, thanks to God, you know, he just took all that stuff away from me, you know. I was even smoking cigarettes. I used to smoke 2 packs of cigarettes a day. I must have give away more than I smoke. But you know how you do, you say, hey, you got to smoke, you know, and giving them back and forth. But I was addicted on that, but not on the other stuff, you know. But maybe that's a good question to ask yourself, you know, if you got stuff like that. Why? Just why? Is it because you can't deal with reality? You know, I just inner think to myself, why are you doing this stuff? It doesn't make any sense. You're killing yourself for what? You know, it just doesn't make any sense. Why do I have to be all high on stuff just to deal with reality, you know? And I had a buddy of mine that finally came over to the house, and he said, hey, come on, Eddie, let's go get a beer. And I used to always have beer. I used to drink beer. I used to drop Janice off at church. And then I'd go back and get my beer, go back to the house, put it in the freezer, because, you know, I like it cold. And then, you know, look at the football game while she was at church. Then when she got finished with church, she called me. I'd come and pick her up, you know. So it's been a lot of years, but, you know, the struggle. But, I guess it's like you can't deal with what's happening right now in reality. That's why. You can't be here. You got to be somewhere else, you know. So you have here and have somewhere else in loony land and stuff, you know. But thank the Lord that he took all that stuff from me, you know. So, so that's when I was 13. Had my first drink. In 1966, I found out that my dad had passed away. And I was really you know, apathetic. You call that, you know, I didn't, you know, he was around for that little bit when I seen him, like when I was 4 years old, and they divorced, and you know, he's just out of the picture. No contact during that whole time. So, you know, it was no big thing, you know, because mom was the one taking care of it. In most cases, mom is the one that always stays with the kids, you know. So he passed away. For me, it was like, you know, okay, like what's next? You know, I didn't have no feelings like, oh, my dad, I didn't have no connection, you know. Let's see. So I guess that's how I, you know, each person is different really, because I got a nephew who lost his, his dad isn't dead. He finally got to meet his dad, and he was like, he was all pissed off because he wasn't there for his life, you know. It probably wasn't his fault, but they lost connection or something like that, you know. But, you know, when my dad died, I didn't even cry, you know. Because he wasn't even in the picture, I don't know, you know. And my sister's different too. She said, "Oh, you know, let's go to his grave and let's put some flowers." I think I'm kind of spiritual. I say, you know, when you're dead, you're gone. Your spirit is gone to wherever you're gonna go, and your body is just there. So I'm not gonna go and glorify your body. I'm thinking about your spirit. What did you do when you were here? What did you accomplish? Whose heart did you touch? What, you know, and go on with it. You know, just had this brother right here pass away that was in a group. You know, he's gone. You know, people act so crazy when funerals are going on. And all this rigmarole, this guy's dead. He's gone, you know. So now you got to do the funeral and all this stuff, and people, they don't want to be part of it and this because he did this to me. You know what? He's dead. He's with the Lord. Man, this is just silly, you know. But, you know, I started thinking about stuff more spiritually, you know, than physically. And that's another thing that really helped me with the Lord, you know, more spiritual stuff. But anyway, let me move along. I know I've taken up a lot of time. There's no clock on the wall. Okay, but in 1969, my mom passed away. So that was 3 years right after he died. And I was only 15 years old. She had breast cancer. And it was complications from breast cancer. And she didn't end up having cancer in her brain. And I was really shocked because she's like a mama lion, I'm telling you. Nobody, you in the projects, nobody messed with us because of her, you know, and the way she was. But she always made sure that we were in the church. Well, she wouldn't go, but we made sure that we went, you know. So we moved to California with my sister back in 69. My sister and myself, and we stayed with her for a while, went to high school. I'll try to speed it up. I got some more pages here. And so I went into the military. I was in college. I went to University of Santa Clara, and I stayed there a year and a half. I had a scholarship for basketball from Lincoln High School, and I had I was all CIF third team. Had a scholarship at University of Santa Clara. Stayed there about a year and a half, and for not having no guidance or anything. Remember, I'm on my own. By myself, you know, basically, I didn't have any leadership. There's no adult telling, hey, kid, you know, you need to do this, you need to do that. You know, I'm basically growing up by myself, you know. And I ended up leaving University of Santa Clara, came back down here, went to City College, got an AA associate's degree in social science, and couldn't find a job after that. So, you know, I remember my mom said, whatever you do, don't be a bum. And that, you know, that rings in my head, you know, from since I was little. Whatever you do, don't be a bum. So I joined the military. I said, you know what, I'm gonna join the military. I'm gonna risk my life. You know, everybody said, oh, don't do that. They're gonna shoot you. You know, you gotta do something. So that's what I did. I went, got in the military. I got married. And I already passed that. I used to drop her off at church. So, you know, just basically damaged goods, you know, without having people come up to you, you know. So if you got little kids or young adults who need guidance, you know, you just got to pray about it and talk to them and say, you know what, that way you're going is the wrong way. You need to go this way, you know. Instead of out there bumping your head on the wall, you know, hey, what's wrong? You know. Okay, and when I started playing the guitar, it had to be probably about 20 years ago after I was all into the Word and everything. And I used to get into the Word when I was in the military, out to sea. You go out to sea in the middle of the ocean, you know, the Lord can get you, you're going to hear the small, still voice. That's just like being in prison, because you think that ship is so huge. I remember my ship used to be huge. I was on a tender, the USS Jason. But when you get out in that middle of that ocean, you're like this. Mm-hmm. When that ocean starts moving, oh man, that thing's going to rock and roll, and people are going to be falling out their racks, their beds and everything, you know. But, you know, I used to be so on fire for the Lord, you know. I'd be in my rack reading the Bible, and I come to a part where I thought it was great, and I jump out of the bed with the Bible going, hey man, look, read this, you know. Like they're going to get the same thing I got out of it, you know. I go, yeah, okay, so what's up? Oh man, you don't know what you're talking about. Go back and start reading the Bible, you know. But the Lord, I think the Lord imprinted a lot of things on my heart about the Bible, and I just read through it many times, and I got to get better at remembering scripture. Like I remember that scripture this morning, Jeremiah. So that's it for me, guys, and thank you for putting up with me. God bless.